have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got like glue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder. And lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
Yes. No. Yes. No. You're an angel witch. Thank you. Hi. How are you? Hello and welcome. I'm all out of sorts. I just hit my head really hard on the doorway on the way in. Welcome to the Dave Hill Good Time Hour is my point. It's 7,000 degrees. I know I mentioned this last week, but I do this show from the one room in the apartment that does not have air conditioning.
Why do you do that to yourself?
Smart.
Because it's the only room to do the show in, really.
That's
without
art.
Disturbing. Yeah. Plus, you know, it gives me something to complain about. You know.
Sure.
Reminds me of a... Also, it gives me more of like a feeling like pirate radio. Like I'm doing it, you know, in a bunker, even though I'm doing it from a... You know, my lovely home.
It's not worth anything if you're not uncomfortable trying to get it done. You're
That's not... exactly right.
You know?
I showered very recently, not to brag, but so I'm damp on top of it. So it's that damp feeling.
Coming in hot and loose tonight.
Yeah, yeah. It's all happening. Anyway, hello. How are you? Thank you for joining us here on the live cast stream, whatever it's called, or... Thank you for listening in the futuristic podcast format that comes out this Friday. How are you doing, New Jersey Chicken Rancher Des?
Doing pretty well. Monday. Got a sandwich in me, you know.
What kind of sandwich?
Had a half an Italian for dinner. It's from Nice. Real nice.
I like an... Is that... What is that like? Has meats and what sort of things on it?
Got some like ham, salami, provolone.
Nice. I used to like myself an Italian sandwich
once
back when
time.
I
my
ate
go-to.
Such things.
So once I, in a while thing, and today was that once. So
I used to love a nice Italian sandwich. That's really, I would say that's maybe the only time I miss all the meats that I gave up in my life.
Dave Belinda in the chat said gabagool.
No. Did he say like gabagool?
He wrote it out, gabagool.
He went phonetic.
The thing is, I know he's kidding. Or at least he better be. But no one in Italy talks that way. It's like a stupid thing that was made up by people here. No one in Italy talks that way.
Nope.
Well, how do
That's
they
not how they...
Italy?
They pronounce all the letters.
They say Capicola in Italy?
Yeah. I'm sure they say it cooler than that, but... They don't say gabagool.
Gabagool, that's how you...
They don't say mozzarella.
You know?
Or any of that. That's like a stupid made-up American thing.
Yeah, mozzarella.
I'm not going to say made-up by Italian-Americans, because I'm not looking to attack any one group of people. I'm looking to just attack Americans, as always. My hatred of
Americans. My mom does that all the time, though. She does all the Italian... She's like a quarter Italian.
Tell her to stop now. Call her.
I've been telling.
I've had it.
Like right now on the show.
That's one of the most, you know, there's many things I don't like on this earth, but that's easily top 10. Easily. It's not, I wouldn't say it's a kind of misophonia. Would it count as that? Like misophonia, you know, you can't stand certain sounds. Hmm. I guess I can't stand the sound of Americans butchering Italian words.
So you could say I have misophonia of The Cure. Like, I can't stand the sound of The Cure. Misophonia.
Yeah, see, I don't know if that counts. That's what I'm not saying it counts any less than what my thing is.
I got a new recruit to my side. Their bass player, I read in the news today. The bass player quit, whatever the guy's name is. I don't know.
Of The Cure?
Yeah. So,
well,
I'm expecting to hear from him soon as we...
This is surprising. Why did he quit?
The betrayal. He's tired of
there
the
was
betrayal.
Really? Is that what he said?
That was the quote, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'll...
Tired
after
of the
40 years?
Hey, I've been saying it all along, too. Robert Smith's maybe not the guy.
You know, I have to say...
So do you have a problem with Robert Smith or The Cure's music?
Just like the whole package, I guess, really, is what it is.
Not even the classics? Like In Between Days, you don't like that song?
I don't know that I would even qualify them having a classic, let alone multiple.
Except for their many hit songs?
That's a way to describe them, but I don't know if that's...
Yeah. I'm enraged.
Simon Gallup, with a slightly heavy heart, I am no longer a member of The Cure. Good luck to them all. Somebody asked if it was health related. He responded, I'm okay, just got fed up of betrayal. So...
Wait, he was answering people's questions about it on the internet?
Yeah.
Where, on Twitter?
Facebook, this would appear.
Facebook. Oh, man.
The announcement there.
Well, I played bass in a... I don't know if they would be considered a Cure tribute band, but I did play a set of Cure songs. When was it? In the pre-Pandy times... Okay. The bass player for... I can't even remember what the band was called. Which isn't a judgment on the band. It's just my judgment on my life.
Busy life.
Head injury. Yeah. But, And I played... It was at Mercury Lounge. And I played bass for a whole set. You would have loved it. Of... That's right. Cure songs. And I had a blast.
Just the bass?
I just played the bass because there was a guitar player already.
Oh,
she's
okay.
The one who asked me to do it.
Sorry, and I thought you were saying that the show was just you playing Cure songs on bass, like nothing.
No,
else.
But I think, you know, I speak for the world when that's a great idea. When I say that's a great idea. Maybe I should do that just to really...
Mike Watt and George Hurley did that for Minutemen. They just played just the bass and drums part for ATP a while ago. And it was awesome. I saw videos of it.
That's cool.
They play at all tomorrow's parties they did?
Mm-hmm. Like,
for the Minutemen, they just played...
They played just their parts. None of D. Boone's parts.
Because he's dead.
But yeah, but there was like a, you know, it was like a really rowdy crowd. So everyone was just kind
singing
of
along.
Singing his guitar parts and stuff. It was awesome. And it's Mike Watt. It's your turn.
That sounds pretty good. I toured with Mike Watt a few times back in the 90s and early 2000s, I guess. He's a delight.
He seems like it.
I saw him play with the Stooges, which was amazing.
I saw, that's the only time I've ever seen him play live, I think.
With the Stooges?
The Stooges, my God. We were just talking about, my wife and I, because we were at Lollapalooza in 07. When the Stooges played, and we almost died, like we almost got trampled at that show.
Isn't that usually when the Stooges? There's always somebody who's in peril once the Stooges hit the stage.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, but you've got to figure if it's in 2007, it's got to be like people being like, "Oh, we should go crazy." You know, it's like not real. The Stooges are real, but the audience
not a
going like, "Oh, let's be violent."
Right.
Stupid. But the Stooges are amazing. I saw them at Sonosphere at Nebworth in 2010. And they were amazing. And I've used the word amazing to describe them twice already, but they were just they kicked a lot of ass. There was a lot of Slayer played that day, Iron Maiden, The Cult, Alice in Chains, who else? And then like a bunch of like metal bands that are for children, like Avenged Sevenfold kind of bands.
Children.
What's, you know, that, you know, there's basically metal that's, it's not like there's a whole, yeah. Which is to say most metal. I don't really take seriously. I think it's just for kids who got rides from their mothers.
Is it that new metal with the umlaut and everything?
Well, that's just all horrible. All that stuff always was. But the Stooges came out and they blew everyone away. Completely. Couldn't be debated.
Do you see him with... I'm very proud of the fact that when I saw them, both Ron Ashton and Scott Ashton were still in the band.
Oh, no. This was James Williamson.
I haven't seen them with James
Williamson. He was great. I never saw him with Ron Ashton, but I did. I met him a few times because he came out. He would come out and like when I toured with Mike Watt. And I think he came out with Jay Maskus when we were touring. This is when I was in Cobra Verde. Long time ago. But anyway, all delightful folks. Delightful. Speaking of delightful, or the opposite of which I should say, Chris, before we went live tonight, you told me something horrifying that I decided I would not question until we went on the air because it was too disturbing to not share with everybody.
I don't think I know what this is. I'm in the dark.
No, you stepped away, Des.
You had stepped away, and boy, did you miss out.
Hit me.
Well, the only reason I brought it up was because I was just giving Dave a warning that I have a pizza coming because I cooked dinner.
A warning.
And there was chicken involved, and I took one bite into the chicken and realized that chicken was not good and spit it up. And then
I have a follow-up question.
Okay, yeah.
So the chicken was, it had gone bad, it was bad chicken?
Yeah.
It was like bad meat.
Yes.
Do you think you purchased it that way?
No.
It went bad in your...
I think it went bad...
On your watch.
In our fridge.
How did you let that happen?
It wasn't expired.
Is this a boneless breast? A thigh?
Yeah, it was like diced up chicken breast.
Diced. So it was like prepackaged.
Oh, yeah.
How long was it in the fridge?
4 days, maybe?
4 days.
That shouldn't be a surprise.
But...
Yeah. I'm with you, Des. That's a shame on Chris.
I mean, you know, you take the shot, you cook it up, and hopefully, you know, you hope for the best, but...
Well, I didn't know that, like... I opened up the package and it was a little, you know, it just smelled like chicken. It wasn't like, I've opened up bad chicken and immediately been like, no, I can't eat this. But this
wait, was so you've encountered a lot of bad chicken in your life?
No, like one other time. Ooh. I got bad chicken and I had it like recently and I had to just toss it. But
I'm going to say,
it happens.
You know what I'm going to say.
Stop eating chicken.
Don't leave meat hanging around that long.
No, I know.
Buy it on the day. Cook it that day. Wouldn't you agree, Des?
Yeah, next day at the most.
Fresh meats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to freeze it for a week.
Yeah, you could freeze it. I think you won, though, in the end, because now you're having pizza, which is better.
Yeah.
Well, it was supposed to be a nice meal that I cooked for me and my wife. Luckily, she didn't take any. Like, I took the first bite and was immediately like, no, we can't eat this. It's not good.
Have you eaten bad chicken before?
No. That's the thing. It's like, I don't know what's so bad about this, but it was obvious I should not have this in my mouth right now and spit it out.
That's this sometimes, like, I think, you know, we have instinct that's been passed on from the ancients.
Sure.
When you know chickens, like... I ate a bad oyster once. I'd never had a bad oyster before, but as soon as it was in my mouth, I was like, something's horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Something's horribly wrong here. And I spit it out. Not bragging. Hey,
look, Dave Bemundo said 4 days ain't bad, and I'm a good cook. So.
Oh, he can fuck off.
And like, I did the smell test. I smelled it. It had the slight, you know, chicken odor, but it wasn't like
no funk.
No.
Was it? Was there a bit of a slime? Was it weird when you?
No, it was like perfectly pink. It was fine.
Just like a little chewy, like a little, like kind of bounced back and like a little rubber bandy.
Kind of, and then like, I don't want to describe it the way I described it to my wife because she was still like, "Well, can we eat the rice?" And I'm like, "You don't like, don't eat any of it." Like, it's
wait, was the chicken sitting in the rice? Like she was gonna eat around?
It was a curry dish.
Oh my goodness, no.
Flirting with danger.
But now the more that you say it, though, it makes me think that I don't know, maybe the chicken was fine.
No, it wasn't.
Is it in the garbage already?
Yeah, I took one bite. It tasted into like a rotten egg. And it just filled my mouth. It was just fucking, it was horrible.
If your first instinct is horror, then yeah, you gotta run.
Yeah.
So what kind of pizza did you get?
Pepperoni.
Nice. So you're going to have to get the pizza delivered and you're not going to be able to eat it until we're done?
Yeah. I did it last week. It's fine.
Almost worse.
I think it's fine to enjoy some pizzas on the show.
Well.
Or I'll just eat a slice while we're on YouTube.
Yeah, do it. Why not? Send it. Live your life. It's not like we think you don't eat food, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go down and get the rest of my Italian sandwich. Is that okay?
The one with kangaroo.
No, I'll grab it. We'll just a little provolone.
Oh,
that's all. No gabagool.
Wait, it only has provolone now at this point?
It never had the gabagool.
That's right, because that's not a thing. We've had capicola.
True. But, I mean, neither gabagool or capicola are on the sandwich by design. So.
Wait, so which do you say? You seem pretty comfortable saying the meat name that should not be spoken.
Gabagool?
Yeah.
Because
that's not a thing.
Because I was like 35 when I found out that capicola was gabagool. So I'm
well capicola's always been capicola.
I didn't find that out until a recent Sopranos rewatch.
Yeah.
So you've been going around saying gabagool all this time?
Me? Yeah. No, I always thought it was just capicola, and then someone said it was. Then I watched the Sopranos. I was like, what is gabagool?
I thought they were two separate things, and I just didn't know what gabagool was because I wasn't. No,
gabagool isn't a thing. That's just an annoying thing that Americans say because they're awful.
It's really just like Essex County, New Jersey people.
Yeah.
And it's spread from there. It's not.
I mean, I'll let you say it.
Not even Americans, really. It's just us. But
yeah, it's basically New Jersey is once again the problem.
Or the solution, depending on how you look at it.
I don't know.
Just saying.
Enraged. We don't. Is the phone number working tonight, or we're going to let people zoom in?
I think we have both situations set
okay,
up.
So people can zoom in. The number is 2. If you like to converse with and not be seen and also have a delay, call 201-584-7071. Or if you want to be seen, or I guess you could just do audio zoom as well. You could zoom in the link there. Where's the link there, Chris?
I think the...
I'll put the link in the chat in a minute.
This is great.
Guessing.
The delay is only Elvira's fault. I think he had the delay.
We have an amazing guest. It's only on the what thing?
I think it's only Elvira's phone that has the delay.
Oh, it could be a mental thing then.
Well, that maybe more technological than mental, but yeah.
Technological. I choose to believe it's mental.
Fair.
It's the heat is getting to me. We have an amazing guest tonight. For Mystery Science Theater 3000. She's going to be coming on shortly, just a few minutes from now. Mary Jo Peel. Brought to us by none other than Chris Gersbeck.
That's right. Got the Mary Jo Peel show next Tuesday. I'm producing.
Yeah.
Starring in and...
coming in hot.
It's going to be fun.
It's all happening. When does it starts? So this is an exclusive.
Yeah.
I like to think.
I think it's the first time she's discussing it publicly.
This is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The reveal.
Finally. Secrets will be told. It's amazing.
You got any good secrets that you're waiting for anybody to like fade off that you can tell, Dave? You got any good ones you're sitting on? Obviously.
Wait, what?
secrets, since you mentioned secrets, I was wondering if you had any good, like, showbiz secrets.
Oh, from what do you, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Like, do you have any good stories, anything that you're just, like, waiting for somebody to become obscure or, God forbid, like, dead that you can tell? Any good?
Oh, like, behind the scenes show, like,
the road.
Oh, no, I'll take to the grave with me.
Good answer.
Yeah, no, I'll never tell all my show business secrets. Never. That's, I mean, you know, you can't, if you're going to tell showbiz secrets, then, you know, you can get kicked out of show business.
Or you hold them to the end and write the book.
What's that?
You can hold them till the end and write the book, cash out.
Oh, that my tell all?
Yeah.
Wait, what's that called?
A memoir?
No, not that. The one, The Grove, where it's like a secret society of
out in like Idaho.
Something
Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove, yeah.
You going Alex Jones on us now?
No, well, no, that no. You know I'm not going to do that.
All right.
No, I was saying, like, you know, showbiz secrets. I don't think I have any showbiz secrets. I don't hang around with people that need secrets kept. That's probably why my career is where it's at. Because I don't get myself in those situations.
Maximize information.
Where, like, I could blackmail someone and they in turn have to cast me on a popular television show or something.
Smart.
Which is how I heard the industry works. I'm sure Mary Jo Peel will not have sordid tales to tell of show business.
She might.
She might. That'll be the first question.
We should get Jim Bierman as a guest, just because he has so many sordid Hollywood tales and has no qualms just discussing them in the open.
This is not true.
Not
Jim Bierman, of course, from a History Fluffer fame, and also many other Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
Tom Green's show. He may be watching or listening right now. We don't even know.
Well, call in.
The Smart Money says no? Sure. I had dinner with him last week.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe I'll
talk to him
again.
On the phone last week or the week before. Maybe.
That's not as good.
I know.
Not really as good. Oh, my gosh. It's like 7,000 degrees in my bunker here. But I think as long as I remind myself, I pretend that I'm doing a pirate radio show from, like, a canal boat on the Thames, I don't mind it so much. You know?
Yeah.
What is that Twilight Zone? Is that the Twilight Zone marathon shirt you have on again tonight?
Yeah.
Do you wear that shirt to ward off women so you won't have to put your marriage in jeopardy?
That's exactly
what I love just going to that same. I don't think it's exactly what I said last time, but the gist.
Yeah, I think you inferred that I was still a virgin, I think, last time I wore it.
I would never. Now, my question. What is the Twilight Zone marathon? Is it a marathon of the show The Twilight Zone?
That's exactly what it is. I don't know if this started in New York City, but this is actually like an ad for WPIX in New York City.
Oh,
Channel 11. I don't know if they started it, but I used to always watch the Twilight Zone marathon on New Year's Day when I was a kid, and it became like a tradition. So that's why I got this shirt.
They did. Oh, because that. Oh, what's that?
I was gonna say they did a Honeymooners marathon too.
Yeah, they would do that sometimes as well. Yeah.
Would you wear a Honeymooners marathon t-shirt?
I might. I love that. I love the Honeymooners
stuff. I found the right one. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So now you want them. So my question, Chris, is why wouldn't you just wear a Twilight Zone shirt? But I guess you kind of answered. It's more of a nostalgia for...
Yeah, I would wear just a Twilight Zone shirt, but I thought the marathon was cooler because it's a little more, you know, like inside baseball.
Hardcore.
It is. Maybe we could crowdfund a Twilight Zone shirt for you. I guess I could just buy you one. How much could it be?
He's already got one.
No, just Twilight Zone.
Twilight. Just Twilight Zone.
Video games.
Video games.
Video games. You like them?
Maybe you wish you had more time for them?
Maybe you want to know the best ones to play?
Maybe you want to know what happens to Mario when he dies?
In that case, you should check out Triple Click. It's a podcast about video games.
A podcast about video games? But I don't have time for that.
Sure you do. Once a week, kick back as three video game experts give you everything from critical takes on the hottest new releases,
to scoops, interviews, and explanations about how video games work,
to fascinating and sometimes weird stories about the games we love.
Triple Click is hosted by me, Kirk Hamilton.
Me, Jason Schreier.
And me, Maddie Myers.
You can find Triple Click wherever you get your podcasts and listen at MaximumFun.org.
Bye.
We have wasted this world. Our magic put a storm in the sky that has rendered the surface of our planet uninhabitable. But beneath the surface, well, that's another story entirely. In a city built leagues below the apocalypse, survivors of the storm forge paths through a strange new world. Some seek salvation for their homeland above. Others seek to chart the vast undersea expanse outside the city's walls. And others still seek, what else? Fortune and glory. Dive into the Aether Sea, the latest campaign from the Adventure Zone. Every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Our guest is ready whenever.
We should bring her on. This is very. This is an exclusive. We're getting an exclusive. You know her, of course, as Pearl Forrester from Mystery Science Theater 3000. And now she's made the poor decision of letting Chris. You're producing the show, or
yeah.
What's your title? We'll ask her. The Mary Jo Peel Show. Let's bring her on. Let's get into it. There she is.
Now, Chris, now? Yeah. Do I tune in now?
Yeah. Tune in
now. How are you guys?
How good. How are you? Thank you for joining us, Mary Jo.
My pleasure. I had to laugh at Chris, who said several sentences ago, this is the first time she'll be discussing it. Like it was some, you know, torrid secret I've been sitting on for a long time.
Well,
I'm
that's
sorry, Chris. It just made me laugh.
That's what we like the build-up. It makes it seem. What are you? I guess that's the first question. What are you hiding, Mary Jo, with this show?
Well, not a lot. No. I'm kind of all out there. I just wear my heart on my sleeve. So I don't. I'm boring. I don't have any amazing secrets.
When I wasn't suggesting that the show, I just meant like, I think this might be the first podcast you're on talking about the show. That's all I meant. I didn't mean.
Oh, like, Chris, I know. Just the way you said it amused me. So
that he gave it a PR spin.
Yeah.
Made it seem more controversial.
Yeah. To entice people, to entice viewers.
That's how they do it. That's how they do it. Now you're in Minneapolis?
Yes.
Right in Minneapolis proper, or are you out there in Edina?
No, I'm not in Edina. Take it back. How do you know of Edina? What's your point of reference?
I like to have a strong working knowledge of Minneapolis.
Of the suburbs. Twin Cities? No, like what's your idea of Edina?
It's a suburban hellscape. No, the only reason I know of Edina is because growing up, they had like high school hockey championships, I think, on ESPN or something.
Oh my God, yeah.
And then that's how I learned of the magic of Edina. But I have learned, I remember from when Trace and Frank, TV's Frank, were on the show a few months back, Edina came up then, even just by my working knowledge of the city, it came up. It may have come like, it probably came up exactly the same. Wait, doesn't Trey live in Edina?
I think his father did. No, he doesn't live there now, but his father did, if memory serves.
Okay, somehow it came up, and now I do have it in my head. I get that it's I don't that I'm not supposed to like Dinah, and I feel like you're.
Yeah, I think that's a good tech. No, it's a shorthand here in the Twin Cities. It's a very Tony suburb. It's very, the reason they win all the hockey championships is because they have all the money. So, and they're, it's a very privileged suburb. So it's kind of a shorthand here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah. So if someone is annoying or like privileged here, like, or anything.
The Hamptons.
Yeah.
Dinah is the Hamptons of Minneapolis.
Wow.
So where are you? Are you in the city proper?
I am in the city proper.
What are you over on there on Nicolette Avenue?
Dave, are we just going to go through all your points of reference?
I'm just breaking out my working knowledge of...
No, and I appreciate it. I don't want to mock you. No, I'm in the Northeast area, which is the sort of the working class, bohemian. There's a large Polish culture there, and it's kind of turning over where it's getting a little gentrified. So I'm in that area.
Okay. And this is where you start now. Chris... You know, the PR machine. You started the show in your dad's basement? Or am I?
It was a version of the show that inspired the show that's coming up. When COVID started, I live a few miles from my dad. And when COVID started, I moved in with him because he's a widower. I'm alone. And we were worried about something happening to him, you know, if something happened. So I moved in with him for the duration, and you know, those first months were so bizarre and weird, and I was bored, and I was living in his basement with my dog. And so I started this daily live stream about life with my dad, because he's super chatty. He's not here. I don't know why I'm looking around.
But I know the feeling. He may appear at any moment at the same time.
Right. And I don't want to talk. He talks all the time, you guys. Like, it's fascinating. He's super gregarious. Well, like, he is a woodworker. He's kind of amazing. Like, he's still building kitchen cabinets and bathrooms and shit like that. And so
Bathrooms in his own home?
Like multiple bathrooms? No, he builds, like, people
that's
hire
luxury
him.
Living. People yeah, hire, people okay. Hire,
yeah.
He's not just like the way, you know, the way Chris is always building ships inside of bottles. You're
Is that true?
It's true. He's absolutely never not working on one of those.
Sure. Okay.
Your dad, I'm imagining, he's like, "Oh, I did a sort of a just a, you know, it's an upper, just a no tub, just a standing shower stall." Like that's what he did that day. But he does this in other people's houses. My original vision was that he was building as many bathrooms as he could in his own home.
His own home.
And I was...
That would make me really happy. No, people ask him to build stuff, and he's like up at 5 in the morning, and he's talking and building, and then you have to hear about what kind of wood he used. He goes on these jags where he's made about, I'd say, 25 to 30 wooden urns. So he's got a room in his house where, well, he uses the scraps from all his lumber. He can't not be busy, and he's got to use all this. Dave, the look on your face right now, I know it sounds bizarre.
Well, you said are these urns to store ashes in?
Yes. Yeah. He gives them to people.
Saying, like, I don't know. How does he set that up? You're like, hey, you may, I realize you don't have a use for this now, but you will. We
in
all
the future,
will.
Yeah. Kind of like a mortician or, you know, insurance salesman, should anything arise. No, a lot of people go to my dad for projects. They know he has these urns. He's in an age bracket where people are peeling off on a regular basis.
Sure.
And so people want one of Jerry Peel's wooden urns that are fashioned with a little cross in them, or sometimes he'll put a bird in them or some sort of saying, you know, like Christian saying. So yeah, he's the guy.
Wow. So does he give them, he gives them to people that are on for themselves, their own use, or just be like, hey, you know what, when you're ready, I can literally throw anyone's name on this, you just let me know?
I don't know that he's given them to people in anticipation of their passing, but a loved one will approach and say, we need an urn.
Oh, wow.
Urns are expensive, so he's really doing a good thing.
Yeah, he's ahead of it. Yeah, he's all over it.
How would you know this?
Me?
You've priced urns?
Yeah, about 10 years ago, yeah.
Chris, are you serious? Maybe you don't want to get into it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, get it. Get into it. You're in a safe space.
No, my mother-in-law, about 10 years ago, we had a
pick-up. Oh, I'm sorry. Des, why are you being so insensitive asking him about these urns? She's like, this is obviously...
Somebody has to ask the hard questions. I'm not afraid
to see how I said that in a way with such conviction. Mary, Joe, Chris, all of you guys thought that Des was, in fact, the one who brought it up.
We absolutely bought into it wholesale.
I'll take it's that just, bullet, man.
Coffins are insanely expensive. Like, I don't understand why
a funeral is expensive.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone chooses that. It doesn't make sense to me, but
I'm
gonna get baby. Mm-hmm.
I hope to be cremated or maybe just destroyed as a part of my death. Like, however I go, I will also, you know, like, or now that I'm saying it out loud, maybe like a Viking funeral would be nice.
Do you need an urn?
Well, it's funny you mentioned
it. Who needs an urn here? Show of hands. Who needs an urn? Chris?
You don't have a guy, do you? We all need an urn.
Okay.
How much are the... Can you say? I don't want to, you know...
No, he doesn't charge for them. He gives them away.
Really?
That's what I'm saying.
That's the Jerry Peel style.
He's doing a great thing.
Let me... Oh, truly. That's even... I think he should charge something.
We all have a job here, you know?
Do you want a bird on it? Do you want a cross on it? Do you want a saying like that one poem that they always do at funerals? Like, death is like a ship, you know, you're saying goodbye from the harbor and people are weeping. And then, but on the other side of the ocean, people are excited. And that's an analogy for heaven. And do you want that on it?
Now that you put it like that, it would be nice. And then... You could have a bunch of sad people on one side of the urn and then a bunch of happy people on the other side.
To really enact the whole premise of it. Sure, I'll get one in the... I'll ship one to you.
The happy side, you have, you know, all the usuals. Abraham Lincoln, Jimi Hendrix, all the people we expect to run into in heaven.
Yes.
Phoebe Sernocker in the chat says, do an urn giveaway for Mary Jo's new show as a promo.
This is an amazing idea. See?
I think we should run with this.
Thank you in advance for that, because that is outstanding.
This is a great idea.
So that's how the show came about, is me reporting on my dad, and he would make... We were quarantined apart from each other for 2 weeks, and he would make me breakfast upstairs. I was in the basement. He would make me breakfast, and then he would put the pancakes on the stairwell and then go back upstairs. Then I would go up and get the pancakes. And what I told viewers is my dad was so parsimonious with the syrup. Like, it was like a ramekin this big. And it really made me mad. Like, how can you possibly have that little amount of syrup? And people went nuts for the whole pancake complaining piece.
Well, yeah. Wait, so how did he justify it?
You know, that is a really good question. I mean, Dave, I'm sorry. I see your name and it looks like Bill on the screen. I'm sorry, Bill.
I didn't question it.
I didn't either. I thought maybe you said something else, then I just heard Bill.
No, no, the print on my screen is compressing the letters. and I panic really easily. Like, I know who you are, and I, you know, but I panic instantly. So I saw Bill, so I'm sorry about that.
No, I knew, as a journalist, I knew the answer to my question was coming, and that's all I cared about.
Well, I appreciate that, and I apologize. It makes me feel really dumb. But you know what? I didn't ask him because it was good fodder, so I didn't want to ruin that flow. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm with you, but, you know, not to... It just seems crazy not to get your dad on the phone now and get some answers out. No, we can't. That's for when you come back.
Okay, but he's going to be a guest on my show in an upcoming episode, so...
You're building up to it and everything?
You bet. Yep. He made a little comedy club in my garage, so he's going to be my first guest at the comedy club, and I'm gonna interview him there.
Wait, he built a club? Like, you can do shows in your garage?
I'm planning on it when it cools off.
Hold on. I'll pull up a photo of this, because you gotta see.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Oh, I love this. This is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the man never stops.
And you were gonna book people to perform there, right?
Yes.
I'll do it.
Bill, are you in?
Bill's in. Bill is my that's the puppet act I do. I'll come up with the full name, but we can go with Bill. It'll give me a chance to work out a new thing.
Thanks, Bill. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I'm a dork.
There is brick.
Oh my gosh, he's got the faux brick wall.
Yeah, because...
Or maybe it's real. I don't even know.
No, it's plywood. Like, they have plywood that's imprinted like that. And he got something shipped to him that was packed in that plywood. And I saw it. This is when I was living with him during COVID. And I said, Dad, that reminds me of a comedy club in the 80s. So I moved into a new place. He brought it over, nailed it to the wall. And then the next day he built that stage. He built a little stage, and there he is installing it.
So he had something delivered with the brick wall plywood as shipping material?
Yeah, it was like packed. Something was packed between the cheap plywood and that piece of plywood just happened to have that brick imprint.
That's pretty great to get that. You get that for free.
It's wild.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Isn't that hilarious?
This is amazing. This guy.
On light, it'd be set.
I love it. Yeah. What's the name of your comedy club going
to
be?
I don't know. Any thoughts? It's in a garage. I don't want to limit it to comedy, so it can't be like the Chuckle Hut or anything. Is it like, you know, go ahead.
What if you called it Ernie's, but spelled it U-R-N-I-E? Just, you know, tie it all together.
I feel like that's the least I can do for you, Bill. I'd be happy to.
Or just the urn. Just call it the urn. That sounds like a cool place to go hang out.
That might be good. Yeah, you want to grab a drink at the urn?
That's
they
hilarious.
Have a show tonight, actually.
That's excellent. Better. Yeah, that's excellent.
There we go.
That's good. I really like that. The urn. I mean, then it could be, you know, once the show's over, you kick everyone out and you turn it into a goth club. And Dez can come and play The Cure.
It sounds like a place that John Taffer would come into and tear apart, you know?
Who's John Taffer? I mean,
from
I know.
Bar Rescue.
I mean, I want you to explain it. From
Bar Rescue is this show where this guy, John Taffer...
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Not all of it.
He's just like a monster. He goes...
I've not seen him.
Is he the beefy guy? Is he from Long Island or something? And he gets in people... I mean, they all get in people's faces.
He gets in people's faces, yeah.
Okay.
Screams at them. He just outed himself as like a Trumpy over the weekend.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
How did he do that?
He was on some Fox News show, and they were talking about, you know, people don't want to work right now, that they're being... there's an incentive to just stay home. So he was on some show talking about, like, why don't we just cut their benefits? He's like, a hungry dog is an obedient one.
That's oh, is he the idiot who said that?
Yes.
I did see the clip well, I saw a clip of some idiot saying that. I think that Laura Ingraham was saying
it was on her show. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God.
So maybe, yeah, I did hear about this, but I didn't know what idiot was responsible. But all right. Well, then I guess I'll continue not watching Bar Rescue. I will continue
that
never having
like a course of action. Yes.
I think I've seen maybe a few seconds of it, but as you can imagine, you know,
it's not, yeah, it's terrible. And now knowing that he's a total piece of shit just makes it.
Hey, language.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. He's a complete piece of shit. Mm. What?
He's on Cameo, actually, John Taffer.
At this point.
So is, there's all sorts of riffraff is on Cameo.
Giuliani.
I mean, I'm on Cameo, for Christ's sakes.
Are you?
I'm on, yes.
How's that going?
I mean, you could take a guess at it. No, it's going.
No, it wasn't going, the setup. I was just really curious about it.
It's going all right. You know, I feel like I get requests, I'm there's always a suspicion if someone orders the Cameo from me that it's like a prank, like it's a joke, like
something stupid.
Like they're not trying to trick me into saying something stupid, but like it's like my friend Anna Saragina, hilarious comedian, got her boyfriend a Cameo from Rachel Dolezal. Do you know that woman?
She's doing them.
She's on Cameo. How did what she was? I forget her thing.
Yeah, what is she all about? I've not heard that.
She
name.
What did she do? She faked.
I'm sorry, I had a truck driving by. She was running an NAACP chapter, and she was kind of passing herself off as a black woman, but she wasn't.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I couldn't remember there was something like that. Yeah,
there's a good Netflix documentary about it.
And so she ordered that for her boyfriend, and I thought it was very funny that the energy obviously was as a joke, and I said to her, I said, I think that's the only way that I get cameos. People are like, I know it'll be funny. I'll get that idiot Dave to do a cameo for somebody. Well, I don't know. Profit's profit. Whatever.
I was just going to say, Dave, you know, is the cha-ching there? You know, so what?
Yeah. Nothing funny about the money. Yeah.
Making a living.
Yeah. Got to make a living.
Liam McEnany, our friend Liam McEnany, paid Giuliani $250 to do a cameo for his friend, and it's hilarious.
He did it for $250?
$350.
$300.
Yeah, bills to pay.
What did he get? But Giuliani, you can't get Giuliani to say, like,
it wasn't him. It was him, like, he says some, he brought 9/11 up, and like completely like that wasn't asked of him. It was like supposed to be him trying to cheer up his friend whose wife just left him. So it's like Giuliani's like, I understand your friend Liam told me that you're going through a pretty rough thing right now. He's like, I've been there. And then he mentioned like 9/11 at some point.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. And he's doing them. It's like a 3-minute video for $350. And I'm sure that's, you know, all of his money is from that now because he can't practice law.
Right. Oh.
And Trump won't pay his bills.
Wow.
Love it.
Yeah.
Bill Dolan, friend of the show, of course. I don't know if he's listening. I don't think he listens anymore, but he's a friend of the show. But he sent one HR from Bad Brain. Someone had ordered. Someone wanted a guy wanted his friend to call him back, so we got HR from Bad Brains to say, you know, would you please call Chris back about, and anyway, it was pretty great. I digress. I don't know how we got on this. I'm in this hot room.
You're talking about
John Tapper, the Bar Rescue guy.
Yeah.
I apologize, Mary Jo.
You don't have to apologize for anything. I dig it. It's great. I love it.
This show's a mess. It's because I'm in a very hot room and I'm, you know.
I see.
It's really, it's, you know, sometimes I fade in and out of
consciousness.
Various states. Yeah. I apologize. You know who I need? As I speak, you know who I need right now? I'm in the one room in my apartment that does not have good, you do not benefit from the air conditioning. And you know who could fix that?
Your dad?
Your dad. Mr. Peel.
Jerry Peel. Yeah.
Get Jerry Peel on it.
You'd have to listen to his TED talk about everything because he just can't do anything. He has to explain. He's super smart and he has to explain everything. You know,
what's that show? It's not like Bar Rescue, but what's the show where the robots battle each other to the death?
BattleBots?
You know what I'm talking about? What's that?
BattleBots?
Like BattleBots. We could do a BattleBot of conversation between Jerry Peel and my dad.
Yeah.
She's basically just described my dad.
Does he talk a lot and does he explain everything?
Yeah.
Both.
Completely. And if he can steer it into discussions of various legal proceedings, because he was a lawyer as his career, if he can somehow work how does the law apply to whatever situation might be going on, he'll work that in.
Are you sick of it or is it interesting?
But yes.
Okay.
Both.
Yeah. My dad, I feel like my dad, I don't think he intends this, but he kind of acts like he starts from square one. Like he gives me no credit for knowing anything. Like once I asked him if I could, I don't know, it was my kitchen cabinets. And I said, Dad, can I switch out the hinges on my cupboards? And my dad goes, well, now hinges are the things that hold the door to the cabinet. And I was, you know, I was like 40 at the time. Like I had a sense of what a fucking hinge did, but I don't think he's trying to do it to be like patronizing, or maybe he is, maybe he does think I'm really stupid, but like, give me some credit. He just has to start at square one and think his way through whether or not there's no yes or no with my dad. You have to hear the whole history of the hinge.
Oh yeah. I would like, maybe, you know, I don't know where your head's at on pitting our dads against each other.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'd be working in concert.
Hill versus Peel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or no, like they're a team that they'll just slowly, like you could just drop the two of them off at a Panera and they'll eventually.
Oh my God, that would make me so happy. What if we get it to be a money-making thing? Like, what if it was a two-hander? Okay.
I would love it.
Where they tour places, like small dinner theaters, perhaps large dinner theaters. How old is your dad?
He just turned 89.
Right.
So
on.
he probably doesn't have quite the fire of Jerry Peel, I'm guessing.
At 87. No.
At 87. So, you know, Jerry Peel's just zipping around, probably late nights, this and that.
Partying, you know.
Dave Bemundo said a video series of the two dads putting IKEA furniture together.
I might be pretty good.
Yeah, here.
My dad, though, I guess you've already said as much. My dad is really into repurposing things. So a box of oatmeal, like oatmeal packets, will, as soon as that, if it's done with oatmeal, then it's for letter filing. You just cut off the end of the box at like an angle, and then it's perfect for filing the mail.
I feel so close to you right now. That is it in a, yeah, that's beautiful. Yep.
He'll take like an old jelly jar and then fill it with, you know, whatever change or whatever, and then glue to the top of it a giant gold paper clip that you can then, again, file like church newsletters in or whatever. All the furniture from my childhood home, which was, you know, I don't know about you, Mary Jo, but growing up, we had like a living room where we were never allowed to enter it unless company was coming over. And then it would be like, we would pretend like we hung out in the living room. When company came over, then it'd be like, yes, this is our living room that is part of our home. But we never went in there. What's that?
Did you have the plastic coverings on the
plastic couches? Covers? And then other covers at another point. There were plastic very early in my life, I remember there being plastic runners that would be taken up when company came over, like so the carpet wouldn't get worn out.
Wow.
With like us kids running from room to room.
How many kids were in your family?
78. No, there were 5 kids. And so, anyway, this furniture that we at one point in my life weren't even allowed to look at unless, you know, my parents were entertaining, is now in my dad's house or his apartment, and is like complete. Like he has like this chair like rigged up with like a new back support that looks like it was probably from a like meant to be an add-on to a trucker's chair,
yeah.
Okay. You know, all driving
right.
seat.
Right, right.
He's got all sorts of stuff going on.
Right.
Has he just lapped Jerry Peel? Or are they still the same?
Yeah, he has. But my dad can repurpose. He'll repurpose stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. And he keeps he can't not build stuff. And it's kind of interesting to watch. He built this to piggyback off what you're saying. He found this really cool half sawn log. Okay, so it's flat on one side, right? And then it's the log part. I don't know how to, you know what I'm talking. It's like a log, cut in half horizontally. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is going to make such a great bench for my backyard. So what he did, and it is really cool, but then he made a bench to put on top of the bench. Like it's overkill. Like he overbuilds everything. So there is another bench on top of this half piece of log. I wish I can't describe it any better than that. Like he put it like there's a little board, so you're sitting on a board, and he ruined it, and my siblings and I still are mad about it.
Well, as well you should be, but go easy on Jerry Peel.
I know he's just trying to be creative, I guess.
I like it. Does he have all his fingers?
He's missing the tip of one of his thumbs. That is a hilarious question.
I feel bad for being right about this, but just I was like, a guy making that much stuff,
bound to be an accident somewhere.
Oh, sure, sure.
How much, when you say a tip, like through the bone or just a bunch of skin?
No, like right, I don't know if you can, this part, this pad right here is straight and half a nail is missing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he's scraped a little bone off?
I don't know. I think it's just the pad. Like, I don't know how far down it goes, but if you looked at his thumb, it's square like this. There's definitely like a chunk gone.
Does he ever like do things like, look, I can balance stuff on them.
No, but I will encourage him to explore.
I mean, seems crazy not to, right?
No, right, right. With the opportunity he's missing out on.
I would. Well, he sounds like a classier guy than I am.
You would be working that, wouldn't you?
I would. That would have been right. Yeah. As soon as I got home from the hospital.
Yeah.
If he even went. He strikes me as a guy who probably just kept on working.
Tape it up.
Yeah, it's quite likely. He last year he woke up in the middle of the night thinking he was having a heart attack, and he drove himself to the hospital. He didn't call an ambulance, and we were like, "Dad, what are you?" Well, by the time they get here, it's like just, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. My dad driving to the hospital. That's God.
That. My mom did that, but not to outdo your dad, but she. Drove. She had a heart attack and didn't want to deal with my dad's driving and insisted on driving. So drove the two of them to the hospital after she had had a heart attack.
That is beautiful. That is so beautiful. Get in the car. I'm driving.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So she's no longer with us, but she would have, she wouldn't have been good at the competition of the her dads will have.
Yeah, you know, their career, their stage career that they will soon be embarking on.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, this goes to my other point, you know, this maybe they can go out and you know, I don't know, pull in some millions or something.
That's what I'm talking about.
For, you know, let's just say it, our inheritance.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's just you know, say it.
I have no idea. I'm certainly not complaining. I don't want to even think about this sort of thing. But I'm saying we cannot stop the life cycle. And right. If I had a choice between inheriting millions and not, I'm going to say our dad should get out there and make some millions with this show.
Let's be practical about this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not exactly. Rolling in it. You know, I'm
me kind neither.
Of a, you know, middle of the road, kind of working comic sort of gal. I'm not rolling in it.
Yeah, it would be nice to have that little extra something.
Thank you.
You know, show business, you know, yeah, when you're not, you know, selling out Madison Square Garden, so, you know, there can be lean times. And that's when we...
For real.
That's when we, you know, that's when we'll have a little nest egg of the Panera money.
What's your dad's? What's your dad's name? Bill.
Bob Hill.
Bob. Okay.
Bill Hill.
Bob Hill.
Bob and
Bill
Jerry.
Hill.
Bob and Jerry.
Chris just chuckled. Chris just chuckled at Bill Hill, like third graders did when they would make that joke to me when we were eight.
Look, he's still delighting in it. He's really delighting.
Like, he's like, yeah, that was strong. He's at the end of the show, he's going to go to his wife. He's like, hey, I know you weren't, couldn't hear everything, but did you hear when I said Bill Hill? Did you hear that in the other room?
Yeah. Did you like my new bit? What did you think of my new bit? I just thought of it right
the
on
Bill Hill.
Spur of the moment.
I mean, I spent a lot of time working on that. I appreciate it.
Though clearly, you know, I don't like to admit that I would ever be, you know, triggered, as they say. But clearly, you've triggered me. You've struck a nerve.
Me?
That would be like, no, Chris by
Chris?
Bill
yeah.
Hill. It's
yeah.
Obviously pulled up some trauma from me.
I mean,
well, it's like,
yeah, like trauma from a half hour ago when I kept calling you Bill because
you
I panicked.
Said it once.
Even I was read everything. I was so prepared.
No, I mean, when you said it, I could see you were looking at me. So I was like, well, she's talking to me. I just
thank you for your generosity. What a generous spirit.
Well, like there was this coffee shop in my neighborhood. It closed, but this guy. Well, he would be there every day, and then one day he started chatting to me, with me. I forget how it went.
At you? On you?
At me. I guess he started chatting at me. And he introduced himself, and I said, my name is Dave. And then the next day he was there, and he said, hey, Doug. And I thought, I didn't want to correct him, because I was like, I don't really see this progressing past where we are. Now, which is not what I'm saying to you.
No,
it's not
but
what
like,
I'm
why
saying.
Invest the energy? Like, what is your cost-benefit analysis to correcting him?
I let a guy freshman year of college call me Mike for an entire year because I just didn't want to correct.
Yeah, it's the same thing. But the problem I ran into, so this guy for 2 years called me Doug. But then everyone else in the coffee shop knew my, a lot of the other regulars and people that worked there and stuff knew my name. So he would call me Doug, and then they would call me Dave. And I would be like, not in front of Steve. I'm Doug to him. So it just ended up.
Doug's your middle name, and you go by that.
Dave Doug Hill.
But I like that you went the extra mile to keep a larger group of people on the QT rather than deal with the one person who didn't have it straight. Do you see what I'm saying? That's hilarious to me.
You could have like guessed a lot of heavy lifting. Just said, no, it's Dave. It's always been Dave. You've been calling me Dave.
I guess I could. Is that, would that count as gaslighting?
Yeah.
But is it gaslighting is there such a thing as a kind of gaslighting?
a white gaslighting?
Harmless.
Yeah.
How long have people been saying gaslighting? Has that been going on my whole life and I just didn't notice it
since the second Bush presidency, I think, it really came into
really?
It started going really? On.
That old? I thought it was just like a Trump era thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what I thought too. And then I realized like I still don't think I understand fully what it means. And then finally I looked it up. I'm like, I want to know what the hell I'm talking about. Not that I've been using the word, but then I was like, oh, wait, I've had that happen to me.
When you looked it up, did it make sense to you? Did it?
You're basically accusing someone of the opposite, right?
It's like lying, knowing that you're wrong.
Pissing on my head and tell me it's raining type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, which putting, is
you're
much
putting
better.
It on the other person's doorstep. It's usually they created it. They're the insane ones. They're the ones who are imagining something. So I feel like that's a key point, that you lay it at their doorstep.
Okay. All right.
Hey, sorry to interrupt here, folks. I actually know the origin of the word gaslighting. It comes from a 1938.
Wait, how could this... Who let him in? How did this happen?
I told him to wait till we introduced him, but he didn't.
Oh.
Here.
Wait, no, he didn't have to go away.
He's still here. He turned off.
There he is. That's a perfect... Elvira, also in Minneapolis, what is the origin of gaslighting? And if you could do it by playing with a hint of bass ukulele, I think we'd all be grateful.
The term gaslighting originates from a 1938 play called Gaslight by Patrick Hamilton. It was also adapted into a film that came out in 1944, I believe, in which a newly married husband to a rich widow convinces her that she's crazy in an attempt to get her put into an asylum so he can get her money.
Oh, okay. Do you also have an octopus on you?
Oh, good. You see that too.
I'm not applauding it.
No. It's teaching me how to play bass ukulele. I only know this part. The puppet knows this part.
I don't know how you've done it, but you've come up with all new ways to upset me.
Gift.
As a bass player in a band, that's my role.
You've somehow done it.
Upsetting people.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Elvira. I like that. If you could educate us a little bit each week. Well, not that you don't, but I like that.
I'll pop back out, and then if needed, I can just pop in for a brief moment.
Okay, great.
I appreciate
Thank you so much, Elvira. That was almost like it almost seems like it was planned, but it wasn't. I assure you, Mary Jo, I would not have let that happen.
No, I know, Dave, but what concerns me is, you know, his explanation of gaslighting? That was a lie. He was gaslighting you. He was lying to you.
Son of a bitch.
There's no such movie. There's no such play.
That's probably true, right? I'm not going to take...
Elvira's word.
Listen to a guy with an octopus on his hand.
For crying out loud.
Man, oh man. Oh my gosh.
Someone in the chat, LG Payne, said very perfect breakdown, Elvira. So I think he was telling the truth.
Perfect breakdown. And said there is that movie.
Reverse gaslighting. What would that be?
I don't know.
Light gassing?
Tell you something's great when it is.
That's just being a decent person, I think, right?
I guess. Oh boy.
Truth.
Mary Jo Peel.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Where is Jerry now? He's in his home?
He's at his house right now. Probably watching Ice Truckers.
Oh wow. Is that brought to us by the same people who do Bar Rescue?
I don't know.
What was the show you were telling me you watched, the 90 Day Fiancé?
Me?
Yeah.
Chris, maybe that was private information. No, I told Christy, I don't have television. I don't have network or cable. I stream stuff. But when I was at my dad's, who has TV and cable, like gigantic cable package, I started watching 90 Day Fiancé, and it's so awful, but I couldn't. I mean, it was COVID. That's all I can say. We were.
That's how they get you, though.
That's exactly it.
There. Now, what goes on that show?
What?
What goes on 90 Day Fiancé? Just so I don't have to, just save me the trouble of watching it myself, even though.
Okay, no, and this is for your. This is to protect you because I don't want you watching it. But these couples invariably meet online or through some dating service, and one of them lives in another country, so they get together and they have to marry within 90 days to get their green card. They have to marry here in the U.S. to get their green card. So it follows these couples when they actually meet in person and their struggles, and they're trying to get their, you know, marriage visa, I think it's called. And obviously, you know, the whole vibe is different when you meet somebody in person. So
yeah,
there's a lot of that. And then there's 90 Day Fiancé the Other Way, I think is the title of it, when an American goes to India or wherever, and they have to get the visa, and they have to meet the parents, and all that drama. So it's pretty, pretty awful.
I bet it works out just as well statistically as people who...
Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Like people who get to know each other in person,
high school,
and have
sweethearts.
Yeah, maybe.
I bet it all is about the same in the end. Like people who stick together and whatnot.
Yeah, the odds. Yeah.
Well, maybe. Well, I should say, I'm not sure, but the people on that show, but in like people who will arrange marriages, they say.
Yeah.
Last statistically work just as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I'm saying I kind of. Now I do want to watch this show.
I'm worried. I'm worried about you, though. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you don't get sucked into a vortex like I can.
I do.
Well, I find those shows. No, well, I think I would watch it because you're not telling me it's great. When people tell me a show is great,
red
then.
Flag.
Well, yeah, because the more people tell me, there's a period where I think, well, if everyone likes this show, it must be horrible.
I know. No.
Right?
Know. Right.
You think,
right.
Like when I turn on Netflix and it says number one in the country, when they put their top 10 or whatever, I'm like, well, that must all be garbage.
Yep.
I'm a man of refined taste. How could I possibly like what's popular?
No, totally. And I personally have oppositional defiance disorder. So if everybody else likes it, I can't like it. I simply won't.
Oh, yeah. That's like, I don't even want to tell you the things I've rejected in life based
what?
On that. Like when I was a kid, E.T., I was like, I'm not seeing that dumb movie. Everyone wants E.T. So I waited.
Yeah, right on.
I've seen it, but at first I was like, no, all these people like it. Screw that movie.
Yep.
I've always, everyone joined the Boy Scouts. I was like, I'm not joining the Boy Scouts. That sounds stupid.
That's savage.
And anyway, but then there's a period where if enough people tell me a show is really great and it's all, you know, if I trust the people to some extent, then I'm like, well, gosh, this show sounds like it must be so good. I can't possibly, how am I going to find the time? Because it's obviously going to take over my life.
Yeah,
so if someone is just like, oh, I ended up watching this show and I don't recommend it, but I've weirdly seen it a lot. I'm like, that's my sweet spot.
Oh my God, I know. Oh, I know what you mean. It does depend on the person. Like, I can't, if 5 billion strangers tell me I should watch something, I will resist that entirely. But if the right person tells me something at the right time, depending how I'm feeling, I might consider it. No, I'm in a deep hole. I'm in a vortex right now of, I was for a while watching Virgin River. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's the dumbest show that I can't even, I almost want people to watch it so I can be validated. But it was the winter in Minnesota, and you kind of like whatever comes across the transom to kill 14 hours of darkness. But it's really, it's awful. I gave it up. I quit.
I kind of want to see it. It's because I remember in the days before, when you couldn't binge watch, a simpler time, we all remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to love shows like VIP, the Pamela Anderson vehicle.
It was her show after Baywatch. Really?
And then there was a show, like those shows that would be on like in the afternoon on the weekend, like Lorenzo Lamas had one called
Renegade or something.
Renegade.
Oh yeah,
that sounds
familiar. You just, they're perfect shows to take a nap in front of, like, because you're just like, if I'm awake I could kind of see what's going on, but if I fall asleep for 5 minutes, I'm not going to be lost.
totally nap,
you know,
shows.
like you just are like, this isn't high art, you know.
VIP, they're not entirely offensive either.
No, you're just
they're
like
palatable.
Oh. Yeah, and you just kind of put it on, and you're so I like a show in this times with the streaming times. Like, if a show, I'm like, oh, that was pretty good. I'd watch that again in a few days. That's the show that I want. I don't want to be like, oh my God, we have to. The next episode's starting in 5 seconds. I better watch it now and lose the next hour of my life.
Last thing you binge watch? Have you ever binge watched anything? And what was the last thing?
Oh, many things. I have. I binge watched. Well, during the pandemic, I binge watched Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I always binge watched Letterkenny.
Yeah.
And you know, but the problem with binge watching is like when you have a few seasons to watch, then you can really go through it. But then you're waiting for.
Yeah.
Now I'm waiting for the new season of Letterkenny.
Got to wait for it to wrap up.
Breaking Bad. I didn't watch that till like right before the last season came out. And for that reason, because everyone's like, it's so great. So I was like, well, clearly I cannot let this show into my life. And then I did. And then I started watching it constantly.
Yeah.
And even watched it like I was on tour. And I would go home after the show and watch it until 3 or 4 in the morning, and then I would wake up around noon and start watching it again
for three
more hours. Yes. And then I would go out into the world for a little bit, go do the show.
yes,
and,
sir.
And I was just like, I don't want to live like that anymore.
I've got to change.
Yeah, so
I've got to change my life.
I don't want to say the shows. There are shows that were bingeable that I did not binge watch because they just simply weren't good enough. But I did continue watching them because they were just good enough to watch.
Like?
I don't want to name them because...
Come on, come on.
Well, one of the show, I know some people who are on it, who were on it, so I don't... there's no way they're listening right now, but I don't... I would not want to insult them.
Okay.
Because I'm sure I told them that the show is great.
Understood.
Even though I just thought it was good. But that's what my point, though. I'm actually grateful for... I guess, Dez, that was the showbiz story you were trying to get me to tell.
Right.
He was trying to tell me showbiz secrets. So my showbiz secret is that... I do know people are on shows, and I've lied to them telling them I thought a show was great when I just thought it was good.
Yeah.
But I was grateful that it was good because I could just watch it at a very leisurely pace. Because
that's when you say you had fun watching it. You know, because then you're not committing to great, and who doesn't have fun with something at least good?
So you could say I had fun watching it, and then the downgrade is it was a lot of fun, and then you can say. It seems like a lot of fun, and then the next thing is like, you guys had a lot of fun making it.
Oh my God, that's analogous to getting off stage at a club, or somebody saying stuff to you, or you seeing a friend do their solo show or their gig or whatever, and seems like you had fun up there. Good for you. Good for you.
Oh yeah. Or I think it's so great that you're still at it. You know what? You do it because you love it, and that's what matters.
Oh, I could never do that.
Howdy. Oh.
Exactly. How do you do that?
You look so comfortable on stage. I used to hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Excellent. Excuse me.
The best is when, my dad will introduce me to like someone at the diner, went like by his house, and he'll say something about me, one of my many incredible world-renowned things that I do. And they'll say, oh, I'll have to look out for your name in the papers, and I'll say I knew you when. And like
papers,
they're just saying they're basically saying I don't know what your dad just said, but I'm assuming you're garbage.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, you just nailed it. I don't know what your dad just said, because people can't really wrap their heads around the idea that it's that we can do it for a living. It seems like a very theoretical concept to people, I think, that they would actually know something, so someone in their universe who actually did that. I think there's a real disconnect there. So I'm sure that when my parents didn't really know what I did, and they would try to, I tried to give them a shorthand for it, but people never got it. Like stand-up comedy, who does stand-up comedy? That's a weird thing. Am I making any sense? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the, well, not the only, one of the main reasons I write books is so I can just hand it to my dad and be like, see?
This is what
he knows what it is. It's like a thing he holds in his hand.
Right. It's tangible.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom and dad, maybe not my dad so much, but my mom was always like, she does her skit. She does a skit. It was always a skit, Now, how do you memorize your skit? Are you doing your skit tonight? It's not a skit. It's my act.
Or they say, if someone, they'll find out you are a comedian, and they say, oh, I better watch what I say around you. You'll put me into your... Put me into one of your skits.
One of your bits.
Totally. Oh, great. I'm going to be in one of your skits.
Or do you have people who, I have aunts and uncles who will say things like, oh, you should come to my office. You'd get some real material there.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. It's horrible.
I went to, I'd have to say, dare I say, the last time I went to the urologist.
Is this a recurring theme, as they say?
No,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Every show, since we only have a couple minutes left, every time I wrap it up this way. No, but I was truly getting my my undercarriage looked at some years ago. And I was standing there in a state of compromise, and he looked at, you know, my thing, and not my thing, my
Chris,
where you fill out.
I didn't sign up for this, Chris. I would appreciate a heads up.
No, he looked at.
So to speak.
The thing, the form, where, okay, and sure, it put occupation. I think I put writer because I thought that was the most innocuous thing to say.
Totally.
And so he started asking me questions about it, and I, you know, said, "Oh, I do some comedy stuff." And now he's like, "Oh, you and I should talk. Like this place, it's a show." And I'm like, "There's a breeze coming at me, my private areas that I need. Let's focus."
Do you mind, sir? Please.
But I digress. We only have a couple minutes, and I've shouldn't be talking about that. We need to tell Chris. You have all the time and the where's and when's of it.
Oh sure, the Mary Joe Peel Show.
Yeah,
we're gonna do it next Tuesday, August 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern, and on Twitch at Dumb Industries.
On Twitch,
Dumb Industries now Twitch channel.
Can anyone watch this?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't even need an account to
Oh my gosh. You're not okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is exciting.
This is sort of my, you know, my entree into, I hope to be successful at Twitching so I can go on Cameo and command tens and tens of dollars.
Oh. It's the best. The sweet life. That's after a few dozen cameos I bought, I had enough to pay for this shirt. Feels good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and
you can RSVP to the show on Eventbrite and get email reminders. I just put the link in the chat for that.
Oh wow.
Just to sign up.
Thank you, Chris.
I love
it. All over this. I'm so grateful for that.
One of the greats.
He is. This was so much fun, you guys. Thanks for
thank
having
you
me.
For doing it. Thank you for and give our best to Jerry Peel.
You know I will. Thank you.
And I can't. Oh, there's our action music. Comes on at the end.
Good time.
Well, thank you. Thank you once again, Mary Jo Peel, and thank you everyone who joins us watching in the live. Cast a YouTube-ish format, and thanks to everyone listening in the podcast format, which is also futuristic. Thank you, Boy Criminal Chris Kurzbeck. Thank you, New Jersey Chicken Rancher Dez. I've been Dave Hill from Show Business. If you'd like to support this program, give all you have. Go to MaximumFun.org/join. Give it till it hurts. And we'll ride off into the podcasting sunset. Good night, everybody. Or morning. Different times.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.